Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah is Lamed Hey. We are in Lamed Lamed Beis. We're at the two dots in the middle of the Amud. And today we start the discussion on the Gemara on sheaves. Hopefully we'll finish the topic today in the Gemara. And we'll get a basic understanding of the sugya about the sheaves in the Gemara. One of the debates in the Mishnah in terms of what should be asur b'hanah is that of sheaves. If you could take a look back at the Mishnah, let's quickly chaz of the Mishnah, where so much of our Gemara today is going to be centered around the Mishnah. So there was a dialogue in the Mishnah, and one that was just a little bit cryptic. This takes us all the way back to the beginning of the second perek, where the Tanayim are debating why cheese, in fact, was asked by the Chachamim. You take a look back in the Mishnah, Chav Tesam at Beis, and I'm just going to quickly read the Mishnah. So the Chatsanim, let's skip the Chatsanim and the Moria Zugvinas Beisunaiki. Okay, so we're talking now about Morius and Gvinus based on Ike. So Morius, which we already discussed a little bit in the Gemara. So Morius was a kind of brine, the kind of extraction that was done from fish. Basically, you extracted the oils of the fish, and you came up with a wonderful brine of the fish. So what they would typically do is they would take their stam yenam and they would pour it into the Morius. So, and on top of that, Gvinus based on Ike, so according to Rav Meir, the cheese that's manufactured in Unaiki, so is it not only is going to be asr, not only did the Chachamim make a gzer that's going to be asr, but it's also asr b'hanah as well. You can't eat the cheese, nor can you get benefit from the cheese. The Chachamim omer, the Chachamim say no. Meaning, yes, we agree with you, it's asr, and yes, you're not allowed to eat the cheese, but it's not asr b'hanah, it's only asr b'achila. I'm Rav Yehuda. Shal Rabbi Shmuel is Rabbi Yoshua. So here we now have a conversation reported to us by Rav Yehuda later Tana, about a dialogue that takes place between earlier Tanaim, notably Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yishmael. So I don't understand. Why did they asur the cheese of Ovdei Kochavim? So a simple question, right? Straightforward question. Amarlo, the response is, because I'll tell you what they do. Where do they get the enzyme in order to curdle that milk? In other words, in order to produce cheese, so you need to take an enzyme, throw it into the milk, so that the milk will curdle. The fat will cling together, and the liquidy part of the milk kind of separates, and so basically what you have is cheese. So what do they use as that enzyme? What is the catalyst? So I'll tell you what they use. They use the keva. Now, let's be very clear about this point, because this is going to be a big part of today's daf. When we're talking about the keva, we're talking about the fourth stomach of the animal, meaning as we discussed already, ruminating animals have four stomachs. The fourth stomach of the animal is referred to as the keva throughout the Gemara and the Mishnah. And when we're talking about the keva, we're really not talking about the actual stomach itself. We're talking about the contents of that stomach, meaning a young calf is going to be nursing from its mother. And so therefore, what a young calf is going to be having is basically milk, right? Somewhat digested milk in the stomach. But even an older cow also is going to have wonderful juices inside that stomach. And from this point going forward, even though the Mishnah refers to it as the keva, really what it is, it's the perish. It's the juice. It's whatever content, whatever the liquid content is of that. And so what they discovered, and you know, it's always all these discoveries, by the way, I wonder like who thought of this first. But what they discovered is that if you take the content in that stomach and you throw it into milk, so it does a wonderful job causing the milk to curdle, and it basically causes the milk to turn into cheese. And so this is what they would do. They would take the peresh, the content of that keva, empty it out into milk, and that's how they would make cheese. So right now, as a first answer to the question of why do they asur cheese, and not only again, when we're talking about asuring cheese, the Chachamim asuring the cheese manufactured by a guy, according to Ramey, we're talking about an iser achila and an iser hana. A really serious issue. So the response was, I'll tell you why. Because they were mamid with it, the keva shel nevela. They took a non-kosher animal. Right now we're talking about nevela, just a simple non-kosher animal. Meaning the animal did not get the benefit of a shechita. The animal is, you're not allowed to eat the animal and the contents there of the animal, but you're certainly allowed to get benefit from the animal. Sa'amar lova alo kevas ola chamur mi kevas nevela. And so here's the counter argument. The counter argument is, well, I don't understand. We're not talking about the actual meat of the animal. We're not even talking about the stomach of the animal. And by the way, in terms of stomach is considered meat. Meaning you and I mostly don't eat the organs of animals, right? It's not our minute. But back in the day, and you go to other countries, then they're more than happy to serve you the organs of the animal. For our purpose of our discussion, organs of the animal also considered meat. So my last trip to Argentina, so I feasted on intestines. And when I say feasted, I mean I tried it. Okay, so but anyway, so the but we're talking only about nevela, but we're not even talking about the nevela. We're talking about the perish of the nevela. We're talking about the contents of the stomach. That's not even considered part and parcel of the animal. The Gemara says, and I'll prove to you that that's so. How do I know that? Because consider, you have now a carbonola. Carbonola has to be totally burnt on the mizbeach. Every parcel of the animal, every part of the animal has to be burnt on the mizbeach. If you and I were to eat any of the carbonola, even if a kohen was to eat any part of the carbonola, so that'd be in violation of me'ilah. It's mol behektish. The carbon has to go up onto the mizbeach. And meanwhile, the amru kohen shadata yafe sorfo chaya. Now, if you have a kohen who is not faint of heart, what he's allowed to do is he's allowed to, before the animal, obviously, before the animal is put up onto the mizbeach, can take the keva and drink the contents of that keva. Okay, this kohen is certainly not faint of heart, but that's exactly the point. The point is that it's perish. It's not considered part of the animal. And in a carbonola, if you can allow a kohen to drink its content, even though if the kohen were to eat any part of the animal, he'd be in violation of me'ilah, but this is not considered part of the animal. So hagam over here, I'm sorry, velo hodulo. Now it happens to be that on the ola front, the chachamim don't agree, but in other words, when the chachamim don't agree, that's only from a standpoint of lechatchila. B'di'evid, you're not in violation of me'ilah, but in other words, lechatchila, a kohen is not recommended to drink the contents of the keva. But still the point is made. It's not considered part and parcel of the animal. So the Gemara says, so we're back to square one. If we're talking about using the contents of the stomach in order to curdle the cheese, and you're telling me that it's coming, it's being derived from an animal that is aser ba'achila, so really we have a fundamental issue. It's not the animal. It's perish. It's just considered refuse of the animal. So amelo mimnesha ma'aminos ha'bekevas igle ovas kochavim. Oh, so the Gemara says, okay, so an updated answer. An updated answer in terms of why the cheese is going to be usher is because they don't use the rennet, and by the way, from this point going forward, we're going to call it rennet. Okay? That's the more technical modern term. We'll call it now rennet. We're not using the rennet of nevela. You'd be absolutely right. The rennet of the nevela is not considered part and parcel of the nevela. We're using now the rennet of an animal that was used as takrovis avodah zarah. The animal itself was offered for an avodah zarah. So therefore now we're saying that the render of such an animal is going to be aser. Now why should that be? Stay tuned, because the Gemara in just a moment is going to ask the question. If the render of an avail is okay and the render of an ol is okay, so what's the difference between that and the render of avodah zarah? So you'll see the Gemara's answer. Is it right? In other words, it's not considered part of the animal. We've seen that by an avail, we've seen that by an ola, and so it should be the same thing by avodah zarah. So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to give clarity on that issue. Amalo and kin lamalo asru abana. So he says, well, I don't understand. If really now the whole issue is that we're using the rennet of avodah zarah, and I'll even accept the fact that the rennet of avodah zarah is also. You know what kind of issue we're talking about? We're now talking about avodah zarah. Now we know that a nevela is asru ba'achila muta ba'ana. We know that avodah zarah is also bechila and vahana. So let me ask you a question. So the cheese now that's being produced from the rennet of avodah zarah, of a cow that was offered for avodah zarah, should be also bechila vahana. Now, if you hold like Rav Meir, it's not a question, it's an answer. Meaning, that's exactly the sheet of Rav Meir. But we're assuming right now that we don't hold like Rav Meir. We're assuming that we hold like the Chachamim, that the cheese made by a guy is only also bechila and not vahana. But if the issue is rennet from avodah zarah, it should be also bechila vahana. That's a strong question. It's such a strong question that what are we going to do? We're going to change the topic of conversation. Okay, and that's, sometimes, it's not the best way to handle a question, but it's what I do. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. You and I changing topics of conversation because, I ran out of answers. Okay, but we're talking about Tanaim over here. Well, what are you doing changing the topic of conversation? Meaning there's got to be an answer to the question. So stay tuned because that's also coming up later this morning. So he sealed the davarach. So we changed topics of a conversation, and I'll just read the rest of the Mishnah because anyway we're gonna be going it over later in the Gemara. Amar lo Yishmal hechata kore kitovim do daich miayin o kitovim do decha. When you see that pasuk in Shir HaShirim, in the beginning of Shir HaShirim, is it Dodaich or is it Dodecha? Are we talking about the male or are we talking about the female? Amar lo kitovim Dodaich. So he says we're talking about, or I should say kitovim Dodecha, we're talking about the male. So of the Amar lo, ein adavar kein sharechav, I'm sorry. I was right the first time. Kitovim Dodach, we're talking about the female. He says, no, we're talking about the male because it says, right? And it's talking the masculine, not the feminine. So we're talking about the male, not the female. Now, it's obviously important to know when we're learning about Shir HaShirim, the proper pshat in the psukim. But as you probably imagine, we're not talking, yes, the simple pshat in the psukim Shir HaShirim is talking about either the woman's anatomy or the male anatomy, but in any regard, why do they move on to that particular topic? What was the point over there? So stay tuned. That also is going to be explained better in the Gemara. So we have now, we have a Mishnah, and certainly we understand what is going on in the Mishnah. What is going on is a discussion, a dialogue between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Yishmael in terms of just trying to get a better understanding, why did the Chachamim assert cheese that's manufactured by a guy? And right now we have in the Mishnah a couple of suggestions that were thrown out there. Each one of the suggestions has a problem with it. And there really is no resolution in the Mishnah in terms of why it is. What is the basis of the Isser Derabanan of Asring cheese manufactured by a guy? With all that stated, so now let's turn to our Gemara. We're on Lamed Aleph Beis, and we're going to start now with the two dots. Gvinas Beis Unaiki. Amar B'Shem HaMalekish B'Menai Ma'asru Gvinas Unaiki. So, an explanation. Why did they ask their Gvinas based on Nike? So the Gemara says, because look, you go to the town of Unaiki, and you see the animals that get shechted over there, and you pull the animals, and you're not going to pull the animals, but you're going to be polling, and you're going to be doing a survey of why are people shechting their animals in Unaiki. The majority of them are shechting their animals in Unaiki for Avodah Zarah. And so, basically, we're back to our discussion of, and therefore, the rennet taken from the stomach, of the fourth stomach of the animal is, takrovas avodah zarah, it's also b'achil, also b'ana. So the Gemara is just simply now wants to know, look, we're now giving an explanation for Rebbe Meir, meaning as we learned in the Mishnah, it's a machlokes between Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim, whether it's also b'achila uve'hana, that's Rebbe Meir, or it's just also b'achila, which is the Chachamim. Well, right now we're saying Pshat and Reb Meir. The Gemara says, I don't understand. We're talking about Reb Meir. The one thing that we know about Reb Meir that we say time and again throughout Shas is that Reb Meir is Choshesh Lemiuta. That Reb Meir doesn't need a majority, meaning he's ready to legislate even if it's based on a minority. So why over here when Reish Lakish is giving an explanation for Reb Meir, he says, well, it's the majority of the animals. What do you mean the majority of the animals? I don't need a majority. The Gemara asks, my Yuriya Rova Gullah, Afilo Miut Nami, Da Reb Meir Chaysh Lemiuta. Okay, so here we go. So I don't need a rov according to Reb Meir. He's ready to make a gzera, even if it's just a miut. Iyamart rov ika miut. So the Gemara says no. I'll explain to you over here why you have to start with rov. Meaning, I know it sounds fun, like funny math over here, but in this particular example, rov equals a miut. I know that sounds strange, but you'll see. It'll be better understood in just a moment. Ela iyamart miut. Let's say the starting point was a miut. Well, then it's not going to work. Why? Because look, not all animals are shechted for avodah zara. Meaning, there are a pool of animals that are shechted for avodah zara. Or let's say, I'll talk a little statistics right now. There's a population of animals that are shechted for avodah zara, but then, of course, there is a population of animals that are not shechted for avodah zara. So now, basically, I have an animal. So the starting question is, was this animal shechted for avodah zarah or not shechted for avodah zarah? So already there are two different populations. And so now, if I'm only looking at one of the two populations, so now I can ask the question, well, is it the majority of these or is it the minority of these? And of these, remember, now there are two different populations. So in other words, what we're looking at now is a miut of a miut. So havale miuta de miuta. So if already now we're looking at the minority of animals that are shechted in this town of Unaiki is going to be used for avodah zara, So now, when I'm asking the question, where does the animal come from? Where's the rennet coming from? Which animal is the rennet coming from? If there are already two populations, and of the two populations, one of them is already a minority, so this is now what's considered a miut of a miut. And yes, it's true, Rameir is choshesh lemiuta, but that's only if there's one miut. If it's a double miut, even Rameir himself says, it's not enough to raise a concern. Therefore, the starting point has to be that the majority of the animals are shechted for Avodah Zarah. So now it's a rove of one of the populations, which then equals a miut. Okay. So far, what do we have right now? A one svara for Rebbe Meir. Why is it also Ba'anat? She's manufactured by a guy. Because the rennet's coming from Takrovitz Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara over here is going to get really technical for just a couple of lines. And that is as follows. We know that in order for something to be considered takrovis, you have to have, at the time of the avoda, a machshava for avoda zara. And the avoda, of course, could be shchita, could be zrika sadam. But the Gemara says, vaha atu deshari de itmar. Now the Gemara says, now let's say you're shechting an animal for avoda zara, but it's not the shechita that you want to accomplish the actual service, the actual idolatrous service. But let's say it's the zrikas dam. But while you are shechting, you're thinking now about doing the zrikas dam for avodah zarah. Is at the point of shechita, is this not considered takrovas avodah zarah? And this really touches on a basic issue which we're going to see again and again throughout Seder Kachim. In Masechta Zvachim, this is a popular topic, and that is whether or not you could be mechashem avodah la'avodah. If while doing one avoda, you have a machshava towards a future avoda, is that going to give it significance and status? And this is none other than a machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Hashokhan is beima, lizrok dam lavodas kochavim, lahakir chava lavodas kochavim. So let's say I shecht an animal for avoda zara with the intent of sprinkling the blood or taking the fats of the animal and putting it on for the purpose of avoda zara. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asura. So Rabbi Yochanan says the animal now has status of avodah zara, and mechashmen kasav mechashmen avodah avodah v'alfinan chutz mipanim. Because Rabbi Yochanan says that yes, you can have a machshava from one avodah to the next avodah. Now, even though this is really primarily a kachim discussion, not an avodah zara discussion, Rabbi Yochanan says whatever is true for kachim is going to be true for avodah zara. By kachim, a kohen can have a machshavas pigol while doing the shechita, even though the machshava is going on a future avoda, let's say zrikas dam, let's say the kohen when he shechs a karban, he says while he shechs the karban, I'm going to sprinkle the blood tomorrow, not today. That's a machshava's pigle. Even though the machshava is not going on the shechita, it's going on the zrika. Yet Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion mechashen la'avoda la'avoda. That's step one. Step two for Rabbi Yochanan is that that's not only true as it relates to kachim, that's also going to be true for avoda zara. The operating principles that are true by carbon is also true for a carbon lit avodah zarah. And meanwhile, Reish Shimon ben Lakish omer muteres, and Reish Lakish says no. In other words, there is no concept of mechashmi avodah la'avodah as it relates to avodah zarah. He agrees it's true by carbonus, but it doesn't translate to avodah zarah. So the Gemara now is asking a very technical question. According to you, Reish Lakish, if you're shechting an animal for avodah zarah with only an intent of sprinkling the blood for avodah zarah, you don't subscribe to this principle of mechashmi avodah la'avodah. The answer is really simple. But before we get to the answer, amalei tamenech shaitech. You ever see the words good luck in the Gemara? Here it is. Amalei tamenech shaitech. Your mazel should be uplifted, says Rashi. Basically, good luck. Meaning, that was a really good try. That was a nice question. You have a lot of ideas in terms of the area of kachim. I'm very proud of you. But that question is not going to impact us over here. With a really simple explanation. But Omer b'Gemara Zvichu Hovda. Over here, he is looking to actually serve his avodah zarah, not with the sprinkling of the blood, but with the shechita. Meaning it's the actual shechita that he's looking to serve his avodah zarah. So you don't have to come on to the discussion of mechashmi avodah l'avodah. And as another very technical note, why does the Gemara over here say that he's looking to serve the avodah zarah with the conclusion of the shechita? Why the conclusion? So Rashi points out, because that's another machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, what is the most significant status part of a shechita? Shechita is when I take the knife and I go through both simanim, both the kana and the veshet, the trachea and the windpipe. sorry, the trachea and the esophagus. And so, is it the entire cutting from beginning to end? That is mitzchila the atzof, or is it only the last part of the pipe that he's cutting, which is a significant portion? It happens to be the Reish Lakish is of the opinion that's the last part. Says Rashi, that's why the Gemara over here talks about the Gemar Shchita and not the just the simple Shchita from the beginning to the end. In any event, what do we have right now? An explanation for the opinion of Reb Meir, which is that, do you know why cheese manufactured by goy is also by Chil Va'ana? Because they're taking the remnant of the Avodah Zarah, an animal that was shechted for Avodah Zarah, they're taking that remnant and they're using it to make the cheese, and that's why, according to Reb Meir, it's also by Ana.
I don't understand the kula from Reish Lakish. You can't even bow down next to a Avodah to tie your shoe because you're tying your shoe. But you're not even having the intestine. You're not allowed to do that. Here you're doing shchita. Right. You're thinking of Reish Adam.
But that's exactly the point. Meaning, in other words, it's first of all, it's not us doing it; it's them doing it. But in other words, but over here in this context, now that they offer the animal for avodah zarah, the entirety of the animal, including the rennet content of the fourth stomach, is now going to be asur bahana. And now you're taking that; they're taking, not you. They're taking that rennet and they're using it now to curdle their milk. And that's why, according to Rav Meir, the resulting cheese is asur bachila uvahana. That's exactly the point. According to Reb Meir. Now, Amar Reb Yudashal Reb Yishmal. And now we go forward in the Mishnah. Because remember now, that was all the sheet of Reb Meir. So if the last little bit of Gemara is just simply an explanation of the sheet of Reb Meir, that's very good. But now we move on in the Mishnah, and now we're going to try to understand the sheet of the Chachamim. Because according to the Chachamim, it's not Asar Barna, it's only Asar Barachila. And then an ensuing dialogue in the Mishnah, which we already went over this morning, in terms of the give and take between Reb Yishmal and Reb Yoshua. So Amar Rav Achdebuy Amar Rav. So let's start off with a halacha. Two halachas actually. As I already explained, what we're looking at right now is the liquid content of the fourth stomach of the animal. It's not the animal. Again, in halacha we call it perish. It's something which is going to be, it's actually going to be excreted by the animal. Meaning eventually as it goes down the digestive tract, so that wonderful liquid that's inside is going to end up coming out of the animal. It's perish ba'alma. It's considered an independent part of the animal. It's not considered part and parcel of the animal. And with that in mind, so think about it now. You have an animal that's asur ba'achila, and let's even say asur ba'ana. Fine. So in other words, the meat of the animal, I can't eat and I can't get benefit from. So let's say I take a chunk of the animal, I take a leg of the animal, I go over to a woman, I say, look, I can't think of a more romantic way of me trying to marry you. Here, with this leg of an animal, I want to be mekadesh you. If the animal itself is asur bahana, so then the kiddushin doesn't work because I can't get benefit from it. Fine. But what if instead of taking the leg of the animal, let's say I take now the rennet of the animal. This is even more romantic. I'll put it in a Ziploc bag. So now I'm taking the contents of the stomach and I put it in a Ziploc bag and I give it now to a woman and say, I ram ukadeshly, but rennet zu. So is that going to be a good kiddushin? It really depends on how she feels about the rennet. Okay, I mean, if she likes... I knew going into the daf how much I was going to entertain myself with this visualization. So it's just a question of how much entertainment I'm going to get from this. So you hand her the bag and say, look, this is I want to be a Makadishu. Does that work? And the answer, as we're going to learn in just a moment, is of course that's going to work. Meaning, even if it's coming from an animal that's also ba'achilo va'ana, but of course it's going to work because, again, it's not part of the animal. It's separate from the animal. It's perish ba'alma. With a notable exception, which Gemara is about to tell us, and that is that what if the rennet is coming from an animal that's takrovis avodah zarah? Then it's not going to work. And we're going to see these two points in the Gemara coming up, and then the obvious question is, well, what's the difference? Meaning, if the rennet of any other animal that's asur ba'achila va'ana is mutter, because again, it's separate from the animal, it's perish ba'alma, so then why by avodah zarah is it different? We're going to ask that question, we're going to answer that question. Let's see all this inside. Amar v'achdebuy amarama makash b'perishur aniska mekudashas. So the Gemara gives a funny example, but it's a good one because it's an animal that's asur ba'achila va'ana, and that's a shur aniska. So the animal now gored another person to death. This animal now is going to be executed. The meat of the animal is asur ba'achila uvehana. You can't get, neither can you eat the animal, even if the animal were shechted, nor can you get benefit from the animal. And then, if I go into the fourth stomach of the animal and take out the rennet, so that is going to be mutter. In fact, you're mekadesh a woman with such rennet, the kedushin's a good kedushin. Of course. However, an animal that was shechted for avodah zarah, so the animal now is takrovis avodah zarah, and you're not allowed to eat the animal, and you're not allowed to benefit from the animal, and now I take the rennet of the fourth stomach of such an animal, and go over to a woman and say, harayit mekudeshes li berennet zu, so the kedushin is not going to be a good kedushin. What's the difference? Ibaisem asfar, ibaisem akra. So the Gemara says, I can explain this distinction in one of two ways. I can either explain it logically and rationally, or psukim. And the Gemara says, let's go over each one. So in terms of a svara, here's a good svara. Meaning when it comes to avodah zarah, look, the person who's looking to serve his idol, so he wants the largest animal possible. Meaning, right, you really want to show your love, your dedication, your devotion to your God, lowercase g. Of course, I'm saying all this with the framework, of course, is we don't want this, but for the person who wants this, so he's going to want to give the largest animal possible. And so the larger the animal, the better. Anything that fans the animal is viewed as going to be service to the avodah zarah. So the rennet, which gives the animal just a little bit more plumpness, that too is going to be asr bahana. That too is going to be considered takrovis avodah zarah. Any other animal, however, shor, niskal, whatever other animal, so you're not interested in the plumpness of the animal. It doesn't please you that the animal's larger. So therefore, the rennet is considered perish. It's just considered independent. That's a svara. And the Gemara says, and I can give you psukim as well. So, shor, niskal, lo nichale benafchei. Ibaisem akra, the Gemara says, psukim, ksiv hacha, lo yidbak biyadcha me'uma. When the Torah describes avodah zarah and anything used in the service of avodah zarah, the Torah uses the words me'uma, nothing. You're not allowed to enjoy any part of the avodah zarah, even the part that's normally described as just refuse, the perish ba'ama. And meanwhile, when it comes to the shor niskal, ksiv hasam sakol yisakal ashor, v'lo ye achel es bisaro. Torah says that you're not allowed to eat the meat. Bisaro also apir shor muteris. The meat is going to be asr, but the refuse inside the stomach, that's going to be mutter. Fine. Svaras psukim. Amar Rava Tarvai Taninu. Now Rava says, now when you look back at our Mishnah and you chazer over the Mishnah, you actually will see this with pinpoint accuracy in the Mishnah. The two points that we just said. The rennet of an animal that's asr behana'a, generally, fine. The rennet of an avodah zarah animal, not fine. You see that in the Mishnah. Look. Watch, read the Mishnah carefully. You're going to see this. What was the first response to the question? Cheese manufactured by a non-Jew. Why is that usher? So the first answer is, well, they're taking the rennet from an avela, from a non-shechted animal. To which an immediate rejection, and what the basis of the rejection is. What about a carbonola? Carbonola is aser bahana'a. And yet what can the Kohen do? The Kohen can drink the rennet of such an animal. Oh, so already you see that even though an animal is aser bahana'a, you're allowed to drink its rennet. Mechlal d'Yisrael shari parshayu. So you see that the perish of an animal that's aser bahana'a is mutter. Wonderful. And let's move on in the Mishnah because we're going to now see the next point as well. And then the second round of the dialogue, oh, you know, they're taking the rennet of an animal that's takrovis avodah zarah. And he says, ooh, that's different. Oh, but then I don't understand. Then it should also be asr bahana, the cheese should be asr bahana. So now you see from that part of the dialogue that if in fact the rennet came from avodah zarah, from takrovis avodah zarah, it's asr bahana. So, v'kama adalem kin lama lo asr bahana, mechlada avosko chavim asr parshayu. So the two points that we just learned together, you read the Mishnah and you read it carefully, and you actually see both of these points in the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara says, now you know what happens next in the Mishnah. Now we went over it already this morning. What happens next in the Mishnah is let's change topics of conversation. It's a really good question, and right now he didn't have an answer. And the Gemara now just wonders. Now look, The rennet that's used is the rennet from Takrovas Avodah Zarah. And the question on the table right now is, well, if that's true, and so the resulting cheese should not only be Asur Ba'achil, should be Asur Ba'ana as well. You're using rennet that's Asur Ba'ana. And there was no answer in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, well, I don't understand why there wasn't any answer in the Mishnah. So the Mishum de Leisa Lisa Be'inein. So the Gemara says, here's a good answer. The good answer should be that once you make the cheese, where's the rennet? It can't see it. Meaning it was the catalyst that caused it to turn into cheese, but I can't see anymore. It's no longer Be'en. And I'll tell you why I know that's a good answer. Or at least it should be a good answer. Because the Hamurias L'Rabbanan, the Lo'as R'Rabbanah, my time Allah Mishum de Leisa Lisa Be'inein. Because when we talked about the Morias, right, the fish fat, the oil that was extracted from the fish. So there, why is that usur? Because what they typically do is that they take a little bit of wine and they throw it right in there. Now, it's not usur behana, even though you're using stam yenam, and even though stam yenam is usur b'achila uvahana, but the reason why it's not usur b'hana is because when the wine is added in, I no longer have the wine be'en. Meaning, the taste of the wine gets in there, and there's tam of the wine, of the stam yenam, but the wine itself is no longer be'en. And once the wine is no longer be'en, it's no longer asur ba'ana. Asur ba'achila, but not asur ba'ana. Same thing over here. The rennet now, where is it? Exactly. Meaning, you see the result of the rennet, but I don't have the rennet there. So isn't that a wonderful answer? Amrei, so the Gemara says it's not a wonderful answer. There's really a fundamental difference. Hacha kem de ukma kamukim. And the Gemara says no, because the Gemara is introducing us now to the concept of a Davar HaMa'amid. Davar HaMa'amid is as follows. What the rennet is doing when it's added to the milk is it causes the milk to turn into cheese. And so therefore, it is the cause of it. When you have something that is the cause of something else, this is an halacha known as a Davar HaMa'amid. And what the Gemara is teaching us now is that when you have a Davar HaMa'amid, it's considered Be'en. It's considered as if it's still there. It's so important, meaning it causes the milk to curd to turn into cheese. Obviously, it's the raison d'etre, it's the reason why the milk now has turned into cheese. And as a result of that, it's considered Be'en. That's why the question in the Mishnah was so good. If it's the rennet of Takrovas Avodah Zarah that's used to make the milk into cheese, so now, where's the rennet? It's there. So if it's there, so that cheese should be asur ba'achila uvana. Now again, go back to Rav Shita's Rameir's like, yeah, that's right. But we don't hold like Rameir, we hold like the Chachamim. It's only asur ba'achila, it's not asur ba'ana. And that's why the question is so good, and that's why let's move on to another conversation, let's move on to another topic. Because there's no good answer, as of yet, to that question. Just one more point regarding Davar HaMa'amid. Davar HaMa'amid is a big halachi consideration. Because we just learned together now in our Gemara that when you have something which is a Davar HaMa'amid, it's considered Be'en. And therefore, when we're talking about a Davar HaMa'amid being, let's say, for example, an Isser Hana, so then the resulting item is also going to be Asur Ba'ana, like the Gemara just taught us. Also, we know regarding Davar HaMa'amid that a Davar HaMa'amid is not going to be subject to Bittul. Meaning that if I'm putting something in that's causing something to coagulate, to turn into cheese, so now we know that it's not going to be subject to bittul. And if it's not going to be subject to bittul, so then if the davar hamamid is a davar asr, so then the whole mixture is going to be a davar asr. Okay, that's it's an important concept in the world of Isser V'Heter. Right now, I'm sorry to stop you, it's so short. There's no conclusion as of yet. In other words, the Gemara right now is at an impasse, trying to understand why it is that the milk is not asur ba'ana. But that was the first answer, which the Mishnah summarily rejected. Meaning it's not the rennet of nevela. If it was just the rennet of nevela, that's fine. Rennet of nevela is fine. It's not considered part of the animal. So the Gemara moved on to the second round. Well, it's a rennet of avodah zarah. Well, the Gemara says, oh really? Well, if that's true, then it should be asur ba'ana. And that's why right now, currently, we're at the impasse. Okay. Now, we're moving on now to the Mishnah, so we're at this impasse, and then we moved on to a new topic. So, Yisil Adavar Acher, Maiki Tovim Dodecha Miyayin. So the Gemara says, okay, now we've said this pasuk over in Shir Shirim a number of times, and as we know, Sefer Shir Hashirim, the Megillah Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kadashim, right? The Gemara elsewhere says, meaning that on the surface looks like a love story, and meanwhile the Gemara tells us that when it comes to all the other Sfarim and Tanakh, so you have simple pshat and you read the simple pshat, but when it comes to Shir Hashirim, so obviously it could be understood on a simple level, but it's not to be understood on a simple level. It's supposed to be understood on the level of drush. So here we're talking about a relationship between a man and a woman. What we're really talking about is the relationship between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so when we're trying to, in the Mishnah, understand, are we talking about Dodaich or Dodecha, male or female, we just want to know who is the subject of the Pasuk. Is it Knesset Yisrael, which in the Mashal is understood B'derech Nekeva, or is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which in the Mashal is understood as a Zachar? So the Gemara says, now that we understand the question, so how do we now understand the Pasuk? Ki Asar Avdimi Amar Knesset Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is us talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, Ribono Shel Olam, Arevim Alai Divrei Dodecha Yoser Mine. We love the words of your beloved more than your very own words. As Rashi explains over here, what it means is like this. When your Dodecha, meaning Chazal, your Chachamim, right, your Divrei Sofrim, when the people who study your Torah, when they tell us to do something, we like it even more than when you yourself tell us. Meaning that we have such emunas chachamim, which, you know, by the way, the Gemara is giving us very clear musar. But we have such emunas chachamim that when they say something, we are as quick to comply, even, we're more quick to comply than even if you were to say it yourself. Right, correct. In other words, it's emunas chachamim. It's a clear push towards emunas chachamim. So that's the pasuk of kitovim dodecha miyayin. So maishna haikra deshaile. So the Gemara says, okay, very good. In other words, they arrived at an impasse on the halachic discussion of using the rennet of avodah zarah to make cheese. Question on the table: why is it asa bahana? It's a really good question. It's a Davar HaMamid. It's considered like the Renitz Be'en. So we're now going to change the topic of conversation. That part I get. Why are we moving now to the one of the first psukim in Sefer Shir Hashirim? Why did the conversation move there? Gemara gives now a beautiful explanation. Because look carefully at the beginning of that pasuk. The pasuk describes a kiss. And Amar Le Yishmal Achi. Chashok Sfasecha Zubazu. So Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Yishmael, I'm imploring you, at this point in time, just close your mouth. The Chashok Sfasecha Zubazu, Va'altiva Alashiv. And right now, don't ask me questions about why the Chachamim Asur Cheese. As we're about to learn in a moment in the Gemara, this was at the time period of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yeshua, this was a brand new Gzera Darabanan that was just unrolled. Now, as far as rabbinic legislation is concerned, as we're going to learn in just a moment in the Gemara, when they roll out any rabbinic legislation, the first thing is, let's see how it works. In other words, it basically was rolled out on a basis of, here's our legislation, let's try it out. If the tzibur, by the way, cannot, if it's a gzer shein tzibur yachol la'amid bat, they can't, if it's too onerous, so then they'll repeal it. But during this rollout period also, there's another very strong consideration we're about to learn right now, and that is, let us not try to understand it. Meaning, and I know, just a moment ago, we talked about this idea of emunas chachamim. Meaning that they're rolling it out. They have their reasons. There's a reason why they rolled it out. Right now, in the very beginning of the rollout period of a gzera derabanan, our job is just simply to follow and not to question. It's obviously difficult, but that's exactly the point that Rabbi Yeshua was saying to Rabbi Yishmael. Right? In other words, at this point in time, it's too early to ask questions. Don't try to understand it right now. Later we'll understand it, but not now. My time, Amru Levitem Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, Gzera Chadashahi, Ve'ein Mefak Fekin Ba. And a brand new Gzera, so you don't investigate, you don't try to understand the matter. Our job at the beginning is just simple compliance. And then we want to understand that later, fine. But in the beginning of the rollout, just simply following. Okay, so that now we have really a really good understanding of the Mishnah. Every detail of the Mishnah is now explained. But of course, all this leaves us with an open-ended question. Meaning, why did the Chachamim aser the cheese manufactured by a guy? So right now, we think it has something to do with the rennet. But here's the problem. The rennet of a nevela is mutter. Right? The rennet of almost any animal that's aser is going to be mutter because the rennet is considered separate from the animal itself. With the notable exception of Avodah Zarah. Oh, so the Gemara says, okay. The Mishnah said, okay. So it must be because the rennet was used, that was rennet coming from an animal that was used for idolatry. To which then the question was, well, if that's true, it's a Davar HaMamid, and it should be Asur Ba'Achila, and it should be Asur Ba'Ana. And meanwhile, the Chacham Shita, which is the accepted Shita, is that cheese is Mutar Ba'Ana, it's only Asur Ba'Achila. So I don't get it. And then we change the topic in the Mishnah to the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, and now we understand better. The whole point of that Pasuk being brought up over there is, you're too early to ask me these questions. Which, by the way, if it's too early to ask these questions, so why did he even give answers to begin with? Okay, I'm asking the question, I don't really know, but okay. In the meantime now, however, the Gemara obviously has now the cushion, the historical cushion in which now they're able to ask the question and expect some answers. Meaning, why is it that the Chachamim asked the cheese manufactured by God? So now, we, when I say we, I mean obviously here, you know, around the, you know, learning the daf, but meaning, Bizman HaGemara, they can now comfortably ask the question, well, why did the Chachamim do it? And by the way, the Gemara is going to give us about a half dozen answers. Meaning that it wasn't one principal reason why the Chachamim asked it. There were multiple reasons there. And I think it's fair to also speculate that even beyond the reasons that are given to us in the Gemara right now, there may even be other considerations as well. So in other words, there really are a host of reasons, some revealed, some not revealed.
But Ishmael wasn't part of that group that made the decree himself. I mean, he wasn't part of this, the Chacham, although he was as a well as our Yeshua.
It's a good question.
Must have been a different generation. A different generation if you didn't know it, right?
Well, I mean,
it's a new decree.
It was a brand new decree at the time.
Yeah,
right. And Rabbi Ishmael wasn't part of it. Okay, it's an excellent point. My Gezerta. So the Gemara says, okay. So let's now seek for answers. So why did the Chachamim make the Gezerta? I'm Rabbi Shimon Mepazi. I'm Rabbi Shimon Malevi. Mishum Nikor. So the Gemara's first answer is Nikor. This goes back to a discussion that the Gemara really enjoyed a couple days ago, so like almost a week ago, and that is gilui, meaning that when you have liquids that are exposed, so what happens now is that the snakes get in there and they insert their venom, and it would serve for us a sakana. The Gemara says, well, why not give that answer? So the Gemara says, well, again, it goes back to the point that we made already once before, but the Gemara makes it again. The gzera was just rolled out. No reasons are to be offered, no explanation is to be offered until a year post-rollout. So only a year later can we ask the question and can we expect answers, but within the year, there's a grace period in which the legislation is enacted and our job for that first year is just obedience. Let's comply, and then later on we'll try to understand it. And the Gemara says it's because, look, if the legislation is rolled out and the reasons are rolled out as well, so people are going to challenge it, people are going to question it, and that's not our job. Our job is to follow the Chachamim, and Munas Chachamim, and then at a later point in time, we want to try to understand it, that's fine. So, Megadev Ba Reb Yirmiyah, Lemiata Yavsha Tishtari, Yashin Tishtari. So the Gemara says, okay, but once it's aged, once it's dried, so it should be mutter. Like we've already discussed before in the Gemara, venom is a blocker, right? In the Zman of the Gemara, in the Zman of the Mishnah, so the venom serves as a blocker, and it does not allow for fermentation. So the Gemara says, by virtue of the fact that the cheese fermented, isn't that going to now be proof positive that venom was not inserted? So the Gemara says, so the venom doesn't allow for fermentation to result. And so, by virtue of the fact that it turned into cheese, that's proof positive now that there was no venom that was inserted. So, Amar Rabbi Chanina, so the way Rashi understands the Gemara now, the Gemara is offering a second explanation. Now, Tosfos doesn't understand the Gemara exactly this way, But I'll present the Gemara like Rashi, right? Like that's like my mission statement, right? In terms of Daf Yomi, just presenting the Gemara Kipshuta like Rashi. I'm Rabbi Chanina Lefish Yev Shala Beloch Tzichsuche Chaba. So the Gemara says because it's going to be impossible where the cheese is going to be manufactured, and the there's going to be still residual milk. Well, now, what does that mean, residual milk? So Rashi over here points out, this is actually based on a Mishnah, which is coming up on the Amud Beis of today's Daf. And that is that if you have milk produced by a non-Jew, produced, meaning the non-Jew milked the cow, but nobody was overseeing the milking, so that milk is going to be aser. In other words, chalav akum, chalav of a non-Jew, milk of a non-Jew. And so what happens now is that if this is the milk that was used to produce the cheese, so there is still going to be, this very interesting, the Gemara assumes that cheese now is a new entity. But there's still going to be trace amount of milk in the cheese. And that trace amount of milk is going to be aser. And by the way, it's got to be more than trace amount, because if it's just trace amount, you can make the argument of bittul. But in other words, it's more than just trace amount. In other words, so you still have milk of chalav akum. So basically, in answer number two, the way Rashi's presenting it, is that Gvinas Akum is Aser because of Chalav Akum, which we're going to learn later.
Came from a non-kosher
animal. Oh, and then that just prompts the next question. Why is Chalav Akum going to be Aser? And that'll be explained in tomorrow's Daf. Ushmul Amar Mimeshim Aminim Maso Be'or Kefas Nevela. So the Gemara says, Shmuel gives another reason why it's going to be Aser, and that is because it is coming from the actual stomach itself, the stomach lining. Meaning up until now, we are assuming that the cheese was made by the rennet. The liquid content of it, which as we already discussed a number of times, that's not the actual animal itself. It's separate from the animal. Now the Gemara is suggesting is that they actually take the stomach lining of the animal and they use that in terms of the catalyst and the enzymes fermenting the milk and making it into cheese. So the Gemara says, Hakeva Gufa Sharya. So the Gemara says, but the keva itself would be mutter. Now, you should be bothered by the following question, which is such a good question. Tosfos over here asks it. I'll go over this quickly, but it's such a fundamental question. The Gemara says they're taking the lining of an animal that's a nevela, that didn't receive a proper shechita. Let's for a moment envision that the animal did receive a proper shechita. Okay? If the animal received a proper shechita, so now the meat is kosher. But I'm now taking the lining of the stomach of a kosher animal, which is meat, that's basar, and I'm now throwing it into milk in order so that the milk will curdle and turn into cheese.
No bishul there.
Oh, so isn't that, you're already by the answer. You're always a step ahead. So isn't that now basar b'chalav? So why is the Gemara over here saying it's coming from a non-kosher animal? If it's coming from a kosher animal, isn't that basar b'chalav? Tosfos is bothered by that question. And v'yesh lama, Tosfos says, it is the Tosfos Divra Maschol Mipnei, v'yesh lama, one line into the Tosfos, Davka Naka Nevela, Da Azika Ba Isura Daraisa, Ava B'shchuta Mishum Basa B'chalav, Leke Isura Daraisa, Ditsonin B'tsonin Hu, V'afa Gavdukma Kamokim, Eino Asur Elam Adarabanan. So Tosfos says, look, you're missing an important aspect of Basa B'chalav, which of course is Bishul. The only way you're going to have Basa B'chalav Min HaTorah is only when you're cooking it. Here, it's sitting in there, it's catalyst, it's causing it to turn into cheese, it's a Davra Mamid, but that's not Bishul. And therefore, it's not Basar B'chalav Min HaTorah. But the only time you're not allowed to benefit is only when it's cooked together. Right? So in other words, so that's why the Gemara Tosfos talks about Nevela, because that result now is an Issur D'oraisa. So the Gemara says, Kavish kemavoshal, and so the question begs, in other words, even though in terms of Belia principles, that's true, but in terms of creating basar b'chalav, a chevsa shel basar b'chalav, so kavish may not do the job, right? So the Gemara says, umi amar Shmuel hachi v'atzanan keva sa'ovi kocham v'shal nevela reza asura. So the keva of a non-Jew and of a nevela is going to be asur. V'avina ba'atzad ovi kocham lav nevela. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Any animal that was shechted by a non-Jew, by definition, is nevela. A non-Jew can't shecht. And even if he does the act of shechita, the resulting animal is a nevela. Oh, wait, one second. Va'amar Shmuel chada ketani. And Shmuel says, when you're reading the Braisa, this is what the Braisa means. Kevas shchitas ovekochav nevela asura. That if I have the keva of a animal that was shechted by an ovekochav, by definition, is a nevela, and therefore it's going to be asur. So in other words, we're talking now not about the content, we're talking about the actual animal itself, the nevela itself. So the Gemara says, well, kasha, kan kodim chazara, kan lachar chazara, o mishnah lo zazamim kama. And the Gemara's answer is, one is talking about before retraction, the other is talking about after retraction, and the mishnah does not move from its place, as Rashi explains over here. There are two mishnayos out there. There's a mishnah in Chulin, there's a mishnah here in Avodah Zarah. The mishnah in Chulin, look at the top Rashi in the Amud. Oso mishnah deshchitas Chulin. The kevas of kochavim nevela v'asura nishnes kodem shechazer bo Rav Yeshua mitvarav shamalo le Rav Yeshua meneshem amino so be kevas nevela v'savar lav pirshahi, meaning that there was a time period when people thought that the perish, the contents of it, is considered part and parcel of the animal, and so that mishnah chulin that talks about a animal shechted by goy, which the animal is a nevela. And Shmuel says, oh, and they're using the contents of that animal in order to make the cheese. Oh, the content also is nevela as well. What do you mean? Our mishnah Avodah Zarah over here says no. The content of that stomach is not nevela. The content of that stomach is perish. It's something totally separate. So the mishnah Chulin is talking about the havamina. The mishnah here in Avodah Zarah is talking about the maskana. Well, if we know the mishnah Chulin over there is just a havamina, so why not just do away with that mishnah? That's what the Gemara says. When the Gemara says mishnah lo zazamim koma, once you have the corpus of mishnayos, it's now canon, and the mishnayos therefore stay. And it's for us now to know, oh, the mishnah chulin, that's a havamina. The mishnah over here in Avodah Zarah, that's a maskana. Okay, and why not change the mishnayos? We don't. Meaning the mishnayos now once they're committed. And that stays. The Mishnayos stay. Let's just do a little bit more. We are now up to the fourth reason now offered in the Gemara in terms of why cheese manufactured by a goy is going to be asur. Rav Makia Mishmei de Rav Adar Ba'av Amar Mimesha Machlikim Paneh B'Shum and Chazir. In terms of how they finish the cheese, so they take the fat of chazir, of pig, and they use that fat in order to, maybe it's like a glaze. Okay, and so basically they put in non kosher ingredients into the cheese. They're taking the vinegar. Now vinegar that they actually were the ones who manufactured the wine. As we learned already earlier in this perek, when they make wine, even after the wine turns into vinegar, it's still asr, and it's asr ba'achila, and they're using their vinegar as part of the ingredient of the cheese manufacture. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Amram Mishum Aminosa Bisraf HaArla. They're taking the sap of Arla and they're using that as part of the manufacture. We know Arla is Asa Bachila Vana. Any fruit produced from a tree in the first 3 years of the planting that tree, you're not allowed to eat from that. You're not allowed to benefit from that as well. So the Gemara Bisraf HaArla Kamanki Aitana Ditnan Rabbi Lazar Amram Mamid Bisraf HaArla Asa Minishu Pere. So the Gemara says now, at this point in time, the Gemara thinks that we're talking about the sap that comes from the actual tree itself, not sap from a fruit. Now the Gemara notes that in the Mishnayos in Arla have a debate on this very issue, in terms of whether sap from a tree is considered a fruit product of the tree or not a fruit product of the tree. And so the Gemara says, Afilo tam Rabbi Yeshua. No. In terms of our discussion over here, it could even be going like Rabbi Yeshua, because Adkan lo palag Rabbi Yeshua ala de Rabbi Lazar, ela bekatfa de guza, ava bekatfa de peramoda. Gemara says, now we're not talking about the sap that comes from the actual tree itself. That's a machlokis tanai. What we're talking about over here is the sap that's coming actually off the fruit. According to everybody, that's considered peros. And if it's Arla, it's therefore going to be Asr. V'hainu d'nan, I'm Rabbi Yeshua, Shemati Befer, Shemam, Mebisrafa Alin, Mebisrafa Ikarin, Mutter. Sap coming from the leaf, sap coming from the tree itself, that's fine. Meaning that's not fruit. Visrafa Pagin, Asr Mimishu Pere. But if it's the sap that comes off the actual fruit itself, that's fruit. So, Bein L'Rechisa, Bein L'Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchak Titatsa Bahana'a. And now, if Arla is the determining factor of why why the cheese should be usher. If sorry, if it's sap of Arla, it should be usher bahana. And if it is, if it's chomet, thank you. Okay, I got caught up in the air. And if it's chomet of the guy, that's tam yena, so it should be usher bahana. So the Gemara says, so why isn't it usher bahana? Kasha, the Gemara says, okay, that's difficult, but I'm not going to lose sleep over it. Whenever you see the word kasha in the Gemara as the end of a discussion, it's like, okay, fine, it's a kasha, but we'll think of some answers. And off the cuff, totally off the cuff, a simple answer would be, like the Gemara said earlier, it's not be'en. You don't see it anymore. And so when it's no longer be'en, so therefore it's only asher b'achila, not b'ana. But if that answer is so wonderful, why didn't the Gemara just say that? Okay, kasha. Anyway, let's just finish up to the Mishnah. Darush Rav Nachman Ridder Rav Chisam Ma'idichsil L'Reish Manecha Tovim. Again, we go back to the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Lama Tamid Chacham and Damelat Fluchish Shal Plaita. The Tamid Chachamim are fragrant. Why were they compared to such fragrant things? Megula Rechanodev Mechusa and Rechanodev. Because once revealed, so then it has a pleasant smell, but covered doesn't smell well. V'lo adal advarim shemechusim imenu mitgalam lo. Things that are normally covered to others are revealed to them, the Chachamim. Shenema amos avecha kari be alumis. Things that are hidden and concealed to the rest of us are known and understood by Chazal. V'lo adal shemalecha shemalcham avos avel. In other words, who loves Chazal? Everybody loves Chazal, even those people who are not in favor of humanity, otherwise known as the Malcham Avis. They love Chazal. Shenema alamos avecha kari be alamavis. Right, take the word and break it up into those who are supervising death, meaning the Malcham Avis. V'lo odol shenochu shnei olamim. Olamos, echad olamos, zeh v'echad olam haba. One in this world and one in the next world. Shenema alamos kari be olamis. Meaning that they are leading us into this world and into olam haba as well. In other words, certainly a big theme of today's daf, which is emunas chachamim. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah.